Amen. Well, if we never had no valleys, we'd never know He's the God of the valley, would we? You know, everybody's got a God of the mountain. But ain't nobody got a God in the valley but us. A lot of folks prop Him up on the kitchen sink or prop Him up on the restaurant counter. He may look high, but I'm glad we've got a God that has never had to reach up. He's so high. I sure am glad our God can reach down tonight. If you have your Bibles, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Appreciate the good day the Lord's given us. Good to see y'all out on Wednesday night. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. And good to see Brother Allen and Miss Lisa with us tonight. I think they'll be gone now the next couple of months. You continue praying for them. You remember Brother Bart, Miss Kim, as some tests take place tomorrow with one of their children. They need the prayers of the church. You remember Miss Dawn tomorrow. She goes in for some procedures, that God would help her tomorrow. Well, it's good to be saved, isn't it? I'm glad I got a copy of a King James Bible tonight. Ephesians chapter number 6. Paul's winding down his writings. He says in verse number 10, "Finally, my brethren," I like that word. That's a family word. I'm glad I'm in the family of God. He said, "I want you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on." He said, "You can have it all you want to, but unless you put it on, it ain't going to help you. Put it on, the whole armor of God." Look what he says, "that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Now stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." You may be seated tonight. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. Last week, we had dealt with the thought of the belt of truth. Here in the teaching of the Word of God, we find out that Paul is instructing us to put on. He says, "I want you to put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand." And he lists the first one. He said, "I want you loins girt about with truth." And we spoke last week about the truth and how we need character. And then we talked secondly about our conscience. Now, I found a verse that I want you to try to live by if you'd turn with me tonight. Look over in the book of Acts. I want you to underline this Bible. Boy, it'd be a verse that you could look at and get some help for your daily devotion. In the book of Acts, chapter 24, verse 16, I've highlighted this verse. It's become a new verse in my life. And I guarantee you, if you could use this as a benchmark, it will help you in your everyday walk with the Lord Jesus. Apostle Paul, now in Acts 24 and verse 16, he says, "And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." Now that'd be a good rule to live by, would it not? Lord, I don't want to offend you. I want my conscience right with you and right with my fellow man. And I can tell you this, it won't be right with God unless it's right with your fellow man. Amen. And so certainly we need the right kind of conscience. And we had talked about character and that of building character. You know, now tonight I want to deal with this breastplate of righteousness. I want you to note, first of all, this word breastplate It also had to do with a coat of mail. Now, Paul, he was chained to a Roman soldier a lot of nights, a lot of mornings. He woke up and he seen the soldiers, how they were fixed for battle. And Paul in illustrations, by the way, I like illustration preaching. Somebody say amen. So God gave him a good illustration as he looked at that Roman soldier. He seen he had that belt of truth about him, and he had this coat of mail on him. This coat of mail, it protected him, first of all, from the front, from the darts of Satan. Boy, Satan loves to throw darts at God's children tonight. Just like a dartboard, he loves to be precise. And I'm going to tell you, he's a pretty good dart player. I mean, he don't hit many ones and twos. He gets a lot of bullseyes. He gets a lot of 12s. He gets around the center punch many times. He's an expert at throwing darts. You know, he's been doing it a long time. And boy, he just hadn't got a pair of darts or three darts. He's got a handful of darts. He's got a pocket full of darts. Paul said, I'm going to tell you one thing, take care of the darts of the devil, have on this breastplate, this coat of mail. It covered the front and it covered the back. And certainly it was sort of tailor-made by the metal of that day. Each soldier had it fitted to them for the front and the back. And we need this breastplate or this coat of mail on us because of the darts of Satan. And then I want to say we need the back protected, not only the front because of the darts of Satan, but because of the daggers of the saints. You ever note any backstabbers? Backstabber. You ever seen folks that loved you to your face and talked to you at your back? They cowards. They ain't got no guts at all. Some of you older folk know about Geritol. Some folks ain't got no guts at all. Amen. It's easy to send an email and it's easy to get on Facebook, but honey, come on up in front of somebody and tell them in the face what you think. Boy, I've noticed this, being a Christian, we need this coat of mail because of the daggers of the saint. You know, folks is jealous of people. You know that? You ever notice you've never been a jealous of nobody behind you? But we only jealous of those folks in front of you. I seen Brother Craig Edwards, friend of mine today, he made a post and he said that preachers must have a boring life because they keep him on the forefront talking about him and putting things and putting daggers in his back. But you know something? Aren't you glad God's give us something to get through this battle? Ain't it bad that we shoot our own wounded? The devil throws enough darts. We don't need to be throwing no darts at nobody else. And you know, in my years of pastoring, I'm not an old man, but I tell you, I've done pastored nearly half of my life. Now, that's scary. And especially when you're bald-headed and gray-headed, somebody say amen. But you know, some of the biggest problems I've ever had in the church, it's not doctrine. I've never pastored a church. I had no problem with the doctrine. But I've had problem with differences. And you know what generally is the meanest member that I pastor? Is the tongue. You know, talking about the back of us, the daggers of the saints. James chapter 3 and verse number 3. I called and made a doctor's appointment today and I said, I don't want to see this specific doctor. She said, well, why don't you really tell me how you feel? I said, I don't want to see that doctor. I walked up the window. She said, Preacher Bowman, I'm going to give you a survey to fill out about that doctor. I said, give it to me. Give me two pencils. She said, I'm not going to give it to you, Preacher Bowman. She said, I bet you make a lot of folks upset in your preaching, don't you? I said, that's why the door's got hinges on it. Ain't nobody locked in. And let me tell you, life's too short to go around with somebody who's got a preacher that they confuse about what he's got to say. But I'm going to tell you something. It causes problems in this church and every other church. He's the meanest member here. James chapter number 3. Bible said, verse number 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about the very small hem, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member. But that little rascal tears up more churches than any member in the congregation. And boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, since there ain't no young'uns up here, you know what our daddy used to tell us? Boy, if you're going to smoke, don't go the hayloft and smoke. Go behind the woodshed so we ain't got to go far for me to beat the far out of you. Somebody say amen right there tonight. But you know, a little fire goes a long way. And we ought to watch this tongue because it's full of deadly poison and wickedness. Has anybody ever smarted off to their wife before? You know, my wife has challenged me with this. She said, honey, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. You little henpecked rascals, y'all scared tonight, ain't you? It ain't what you said, it's how you said it. And now watch what it says. Now, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire hell. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It's unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Watch this, verse 9. Put this on over there. Put this in your trough. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed the blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Now, the breastplate. Boy, we need something to cover our back for all the daggers of the saints. We ought to watch our tongues of what we say. You know, you can... I'm not talking about people getting their feelings hurt about preaching, about Bible truth. I'm talking about our opinions. We ought to keep our stinking opinions to ourselves. And a lot of times we judge things because we've heard one side of the story. Won't you get both sides of the story? Because most of the time it'll be their side and their side, and then in the middle there's God's side. It'll be the truth. And if it don't line up this book, it's error. Leave it alone. You know, you can say something about it when it goes against this book, but if it's your opinion, just because the carpet you think ought to be blue and it's red, you ought to keep your mouth shut. Amen. I need a good Wednesday night. Amen tonight. Boy, that tongue sets a lot of things on fire. Matter of fact, sir, your marriage will change if you keep your mouth quiet. And ma'am, you always want to get the last word. You know, if you was drowned and you'd do this as you was going down. Sign language. I've heard this all the time. Well, I'm going to get even. Well, that ain't getting ahead. Ain't getting ahead. Last time I noticed, my Bible said, I've been reading it this week. It's amazing what you find if you read your Bible. Did you know the Bible said for us to pray those that despitefully use you? Did you know He said give to them that hate you? You know what He's saying? Kill them with kindness. He said anybody can roll the sleeves up and pop their jaws. Any of y'all ever had a cat fight at home? Hey, man, Mr. Nate throwed a banana at me one time. I was preaching a revival meeting and told him. Some woman come by and said something at the end of the meeting. I forget what she said now, but we were sitting over in the trailer, and I said something hateful. Mr. Renee picked up a banana, and son, she whooped that thing, shoot, throw it at me, and I missed it. We had banana pudding in there on the side of the trailer. Well, I guarantee you, it cost my smart mouth. I guarantee you that. Anybody live with a smart aleck, you can raise both hands tonight. Breastplate, protected from the darts of Satan, and it ought to protect us from the daggers of the saint. Watch this. Can't nobody, let me tell you this, if the devil can get you out here by somebody talking about you, then you might as well go and pack up your pocketbook tonight, because if that's all it's going to take to blow you out the house of God, you ain't going to be here long, friend. We got to put our eyes on Jesus and get our feelings off of things. And we that profess to be Christians, we ought to act like Christians. Watch our tongue. Some of y'all ought to go down there at that piercing shop and get your tongue pierced down there to your bottom lip so you can't talk no more. You can still pray. That's all you need to do is pray. Now, the breastplate is a coat of mail. It covers the front and the back. And then watch what he says. It's a breastplate of righteousness. You know what that word means in Ephesians 6, right there in verse 14, the breastplate of righteousness? The word righteousness, always remember this, it means right or just. Now, nothing else will resist the onslaught of unrighteousness like righteousness. I want to make this statement tonight. I don't want to forget it. If we would make up our mind, listen to me, if we would make the choice to do right before you have the choice, you'll have no worries. If you'll make the choice before you have the choice, two of you got it. If you make the choice before you have the choice, it sure will help you in temptations. Now, nothing else will resist the onslaught of unrighteousness. I'm going to tell you, many times when that temptation comes to me, I done said no way back yonder before it got right here. And you better learn to say no back yonder, because it'll slip up on you right here before you know what you've done. Now, the only way that we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil is in righteousness. We've got to be right. We've got to be just. Nothing else will resist the onslaught of unrighteousness like righteousness. Now, we've got an issue with that. Everybody here's got an issue with righteousness. Romans 3 and verse number 10. I wish somebody would have taught this to me when I was a young man. Romans 3 and verse number 10. Now, we've got a problem. Paul's saying, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, look what also he wrote in Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. How are you going to put on something that you ain't got? Well, we better be finding out, hadn't we? You look what that book says, neighbor. There is none righteous, no, not one. I don't know why people have the mentality at the church house that somebody's better than somebody else. We're all sinners, born with the nature of Adam. There's none right. There's nobody born righteous. And I don't care how angelic we think our grandbabies are, they ain't righteous. Your children aren't righteous. Now, there's none righteous, no, not one. Now, that brings me to this. How do we get righteousness? Going to church? No. Getting baptized? No. Reading your Bible? No. Paying your tithes? No. Working every day for Jesus? No. Which brings us to this tonight. We need imputed righteousness, which deals with our position. Romans 3 and verse number 10. It is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, they're become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Verse number 20. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But when I read the Ten Commandments, I holler calf rope. I can't keep all them together. I do pretty good with two or three or four of them. But I got issues with a few of them. And you do too. Now look what it says. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. We were all guilty before God. The law condemns us. The law shows us, it's a schoolmaster, it's a mirror, shows us just how wicked we are. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. In other words, nobody can live them out. Verse 21, I like this word, but now. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation or a satisfaction through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, an imputed righteousness, it is our position. We can only become righteous in Christ. God has determined, in order for me to be declared righteous, I must believe in His Son. I must be born again by the grace of God. And when I am placed in Christ by the Spirit of God, I receive the righteousness of Christ. There's nothing in me except Christ that is righteous. Now, tonight, this imputed righteousness in our position, that's what gets us to heaven. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. You ought to mark this. This is a great, great verse in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Paul says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Watch this. Underline your Bible. Never let a hyper-Calvinist preacher tell you that Christ didn't die for all, because he's a liar. Look at verse 15. That He died for all. Anybody dies and goes to hell, they'll go as an intruder. This does nothing away with God's sovereignty, with God's foreknowledge. God knows everything before it takes place. He died for all mankind. Now watch what it says. He died for all that they which should live should henceforth not live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. And did I tell you He got up? Did I tell you Buddha and Muhammad's still in there, but He got up? Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yeah, though we've known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become anew. And all things are of God. Here it is, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Hath reconciled us to Himself. There was a gap. There was a gulf that wouldn't span. And He said that He's reconciled, He's brought us together to Himself, look, by not the Baptist church. I am a Baptist and I'll never take Baptists off my sign. Amen. Somebody said, well, if you take Baptists off, then you limit your reachability. Let me tell you, honey, I'm glad Jesus got me before the Baptists got me, but I'm glad I are a Baptist tonight. And hath given to us, look, the ministry of reconciliation. Are you using that ministry at all? Are you reconciling anybody to God by Christ? In other words, are you a soul winner for the Lord Jesus? Look what He says. And hath given to us, everybody, the ministry of reconciliation. Pastor, that's your job. No, it's not. It's my job to study, preach, and pray and lead this congregation. It's your job and my job to be a soul winner for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us all a ministry of reconciliation. In other words, grabbing a hold to God, grabbing a hold to Jesus, getting Jesus to the center, and letting Jesus get them to God. Soul winner. Have you told anybody about Jesus today? Jesus saves. You say, preacher, I don't know enough about the Bible to lead nobody to the Lord. Well, are you saved? Tell them what happened to you. The Spirit deal with your heart? Lead them to Christ. Now, he says, to wit, that God was in Christ. Did I tell you he was God-man? Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Here it is. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's nobody here righteous except by Christ. Now, tonight, a imputed righteousness is our position. In Philippians 3 and verse number 7, I want you to underline these verses tonight. In Philippians 3 and verse number 7, I'll have to hurry. Paul says, those things that were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Verse 9, be found in him, watch, not having mine own righteousness. Why, he was a great leader of the law. He was Pharisees of the Pharisees. I mean, he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was good as it come by the law. But look what Paul said. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He said, if you're going to be righteous, it's going to come by His Son. He said, God has purposed the only way for you to be righteous is to be placed in His Son. Have you ever been put in Jesus? Has there ever been a time that the Spirit of God's knocked on your heart and you knew you were a sinner and you come to Christ? And that time when you believed upon Him by grace through faith, God declared you righteous because you accepted His Son. You'll not get there on the merit of your own self. You'll not get there on the knowledge of your own thinking. If you deny what God has given to you to get to heaven, you'll not get there, friend. There's one road to heaven. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you take a survey, if you take a poll, and our country's in a mess, the biggest mess I've ever seen a mess in. We are in a mess. And I'm going to tell you something. If you ask 20 different people on a platform tonight, you'd probably get 20 different answers about how to get to heaven. A man pastoring the largest church in America will not make a dogmatic statement that Jesus is the way, and without Him you die and go to hell. And he's sitting with multitudes of thousands preaching to on Sunday morning. I tell you what they ought to do to that wimp. They ought to tar and feather him and run him out of the state. They ought to put him in a corn patch and let him go to... They ought to let him go to planting corn instead of preaching. Ain't that sad? Ain't that sad that you'd have your youngin' sitting in a place that the preacher wasn't even dogmatic enough to say Jesus is the only way to heaven? God help us. Imputed righteousness is our position. Romans 10, verse number 4 now. Romans 10, verse number 4. Boy, I sure am glad I got my position right. I'm glad I'm going to heaven tonight. I'm glad I know I'm going. Romans 10, verse number 4. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, who shall descend in the deep. Verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even thy mouth and thy heart, thy word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. I like this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe that tonight? We must put on this breastplate of righteousness now. I'm getting to where we live. I had to show you how to get righteous. It's not about how many times I read my Bible, not how much money I give the Lord. None of those things make me righteous. I'm only declared righteous by how? By Christ Jesus. By Jesus, not the Baptist church. I'm declared righteous by who? I'm glad four of you is listening. It's very important you learn these doctrines of truth. Imputed righteousness, that is our position. You see, justice requires, grace reveals, and faith receives. Imputed righteousness, our position. But here's the one that bothers me. There's an impaired righteousness, it's our practice. Impaired means injury or distractions. Do you ever get distracted on living righteous? Now, Romans 6 and verse number 11, talking about not only our position, but now our practice. Romans 6 and verse number 11. Likewise reckon. You ought to underline that word right there, calculate. Calculate yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now watch this, verse 12. We've got an option, underline it. Let not. We didn't have that option before we got saved. But now that righteousness lives in me, I have an option to walk righteously. Let not. That's an option. Let not sin reign or be king in your mortal body. Now, we all going to sin. There's nobody here sinless. I understand we are sinless in the eyes of God because of one thing, His Son, His righteousness. But I'm talking about not our position, I'm talking about our practice. Let not, look, here's something that's going to bother you. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. We got two things going on us. We got the old nature and new nature. When we got saved, there was a seed come to live within us, according to 1 John. And therefore, we cannot habitually sin the way we used to anymore. If we do, according to Hebrews chapter number 12 and 13, there's a payday coming. And He's going to take you to the woodshed, and you're not going to like what He's going to do to you. Before you got saved, let me ask you something. You don't whoop none of the neighbor's kids, do you? If you do, you goofy. Somebody told me one time, won't you take them kids back there and whoop them? Won't you take whoop them, get locked up? Now, there's a few I'd love to whoop, but I'd rather whoop the mom and daddy. Y'all getting way too wimpy for me to be your preacher. Let me tell you, God only whoops His young'uns. You know why you live like a heathen and God didn't whoop you when you was lost? Because you was lost. And the grace of God, you not in hell tonight. But I tell you what I done found out, honey. When I got saved, I can't do what I used to do the way I used to do. Now, we've all got a mortal body. We've got issues with this flesh. Let not. Now, watch this. Your mortal body, you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. I've got an option. Who am I going to yield to? First of all, I've got to start my day in prayer. I've got to get my mind on things of God. A lot of you getting up, hitting the alarm clock, you getting on your shoes and coat, and out the door you go, you ain't thought about nothing but hurry up, not being late at your work. A lot of you ain't opening your Bibles till Sunday. A lot of you not even praying until somebody calls on you to pray in church. We've got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, I know He lives in us, but let me tell you, this old nature, this mortal body is a handful. Isn't it amazing you can leave church, have the most glorified service, walk out in the parking lot and have the most wicked thoughts you've ever thought? And you know what the devil tell you? You're the only one who's ever done that. He's a liar. We've all got problems with the flesh. They some use of high strung. It takes all you can do to keep whooping somebody every day of your life. Ain't that right? Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Don't yield to unrighteousness. But yield yourselves to God. You know when that ant does this, if that ant don't live in you, I'd be checking up to see if that ant was living in you or not. About the time you go to doing that that's against this book, and he's not convicting you, the convictor don't live in you. You don't yield yourselves to the servants of sin, but you yield yourselves to God. And those that are alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Look, verse 14. No way should a Christian ever be held in the bondage of sin. For sin shall not have dominion or be lord over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. You know what I found out about sin? It multiplies. It becomes habitual. And it's a bad thing. But I'm going to tell you tonight, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There's no reason that sin should be lord over our lives. Now there is imputed righteousness. Our position in Christ guarantees us a home in heaven. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. Are you going to heaven? That's the most important question anybody's asked you all day. Are you going to heaven? Number two, impaired righteousness. That's our practice. James 4, verse number 7. Watch this in your Bible. James 4, verse number 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. But you see this? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God first. Say no back yonder till it gets here. Resist. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. We think a lot about that, washing our hands. But look, purify your hearts, you double-minded. We better keep our heart cleaned up. Let me go and hit this right quick because I'm going to be out of time. I've challenged the teens out back to be done at 8:30 so you don't have to wait on them. I said, if God's moving, meet all night. If not, let's try to get out at 8:30. So I've got 6, 7 minutes, 8, 9. You better watch the crowds you're running with because you're going to do what they do. And if you lay with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. We think a lot about our hands, keep our hands clean. What's going on in our wicked heart? What are we doing when God calls us to the altar to confess sin, get our lives right? You say, well, preacher, you can't grow a church preaching like that. We're trying. I seen a sign come up this week. Come to our church. We don't preach against sin. Sin's not condemned. Come where you are. Everything's fine. Wish I could blow it up. That would be one good thing if we had a big screen. I could just show you some stuff I see all week. I'm afraid what you'd put on it, show me what you see all week. A.W. Tozier said, nearness is likeness. You can't get near him and not get like him. And you can't get near people that you're running with and not get like them. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how sanctified you are. I don't care how filled in the Holy Ghost you are, you get to running with the wrong crowd, you're going to be doing what they're doing. Let me ask you this, that crowd you're running with, is it taking you to God or away from God? If it's taking you from God, you better change crowds. You're going to be in a bad place for long. Impaired righteousness, practice. He says, yield. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I realize we've got to work, but you ain't got to work every time they call you in on Sunday. It's the Lord's day. I know we got to work. I know we got to pay bills. I've been there, done that. I understand all of that. But let me tell you, when you're just working overtime to have a pool table or a nice boat, you ain't right with God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You get things out of balance, you're going to pay for it. Matthew 5:13, let your light shine. Be salt to the earth. Folks ought to be able to look at you and look at them lights. You look at this chandelier. You know what bothers me? There's a bub out right yonder. There's a bub out right yonder. There's two out in that one. I don't see out. There's one out in that. And I don't see all of them burning. I see them. It's out. I wonder as us as a church, we all lights in that chandelier. I wonder how many of us is shining. Wonder how many people knows we're Christian without us trying to tell them that we're Christian. I wonder when we tell them something, can they take it to the bank or are we found out to be liars? I wonder, is our word, our oath? Did you know a generation in the graveyard tonight, they didn't need papers and contracts. Now papers and contracts are no good. A man's word was everything. A handshake still ought to be a handshake tonight. Right's still right and wrong is still wrong. We ought to let our light shine. Folks is watching you. And you know something? You can really tell when it's out, when it's around a lot more lit up. And that's the reason we need to come to church. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much more as you see the day approaching. When you see folks are testifying, singing in the choir, enjoying Jesus, you get around folks and a chandelier is lit up, then you go to look and say, well, why ain't I like that? Why in the world? I mean, what's the matter? Why ain't? I mean, something's happened. It's went out. Boy, I want to be on the top. I want to be shining for Jesus. Just let me be in the bottom. Praise God, just let my light be on. I mean, just let me be somewhere in it. Let my light be doing something. People dying, going to hell all around us. He's given us all the ministry of reconciliation. This church ought to not hold us. Is your light like that chandelier? Did it used to burn bright? Now it's went out. Well, you'll never know it went out unless you got around folks that are lit. I tell you, I enjoy being saved. It's not fun waking up not knowing how you got there. You know what's a bad thing? When a man's got everything, he's run out of weed, and he's the most miserable human on earth. That's a miserable life. It's a miserable life to be held in bondage and sin. Can't enjoy just the simple, basic, most wonderful things that God has given you. I've been there, done that. I don't like that lifestyle. I love going to church, rejoicing around God's people. You perfect preacher? No, but I can tell you one thing. I'm not trying to act stupid neither. Now, you can get stupid. And you can't fix stupid. You hear me? You can educate ignorant. You can't fix stupid, neighbor. Walk out there in the yellow line. You ain't bulletproof. You get run over. Imputed righteousness. 3 more minutes and 4 seconds. Our position, our practice, but our protection. Did you know when we have imperative righteousness, it's a gotta have it. We've got to live righteous. We've got to walk according to the precepts of this book. Boy, how it protects us from danger. Did you know when temptation comes along and I've got the breastplate of righteousness on, I don't get in trouble? Did you know that I'm not near as to fall into temptation if I got on the breastplate of righteousness when the devil throws a dart at me? I tell you another thing, he'll throw a dart at you. You're not saved. Well, if you're in this book and living for Him and walking with Him, you have no doubt. So I didn't do this by myself. Boy, it's nothing like being saved. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, if you've got it on the front and the back, I talked with a man this week. Somebody said, well, you know, so-and-so this and so-and-so that. Well, let me ask you a question. Who are you worshiping? I'm afraid a lot of times we come to church for the wrong reason. This ain't no buddy system. We in the family of God, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're come here to glorify our God and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I wonder how many times I'd have quit if somebody would have hurt my feelings here. Mama, how many times? Well, we have made it 2 months. She's looking at me over her glasses. I must have preached an hour. There goes that smart mouth again. Breastplate of righteousness. Covers your back. So what? They're throwing mud at you. So what? They're kicking you in the behind. At least you're ahead of them. Hey, Brother Joe, come here. You the police. Watch this. Brother Joe's my friend. You ain't got on your body armor, have you? You know what that means? I'm behind him. He's ahead of me. Don't worry about what people's talking about you. Don't worry about what they're saying about you. You're ahead of them if they're kicking you. Renee, would you remind me of that hun? Thank y'all for being here tonight. Stand with us. Glad I'm saved. Put on.